Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode today is brought to you by Grinding Coffee Co. Grinding Coffee, a Black LGBTQ-owned coffee business that donates a portion of every sale to charity. Coffee is imported from around the world, and they pride themselves on great customer service for a small team. Use promo code PITLANEPARLAY for 13% off your order.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Suffering stuck with me tonight is both McBridge and Mr. Hickey. Lady and gentlemen, how are we?
We good.
You already look like you're about to lose it.
Me?
Yeah.
No, it's been a long day. And
well, it's about to get a little bit longer here.
That's what she said. What are we in? Well, 31 seconds. Thank you very much.
Wow.
That should be a drinking game of some kind.
Yeah. It really should be. On our...
When Shannon joins, if that phrase is uttered by anybody, start drinking.
Let's do it.
Finish your drink.
I'm gonna kick off the episode in our usual manner.
Yes.
All right. You guys ready for this?
No.
We try not to get too political on this podcast, and you could say right now that the country is... hasn't been this divided in a long time, and there are some topics that we can discuss and some topics that are off limits, and I think we ought to stray into the off limit topics for this episode. So for you guys today, my question to you, again, not trying to get canceled or anything, but what is your guys' view on candy corn?
Like, where? I did not sign up for this. Where is he going?
Yeah, I was like, should I start taking notes for editing? What
the
do I need to pay attention to?
Answer is the only answer, and it belongs in the garbage.
I personally enjoy candy corn very much.
Oh,
so.
Boo.
Personally, do not have taste buds. There's no way you can enjoy candy corn. I think you're lying. I think you're doing it just because everybody says that you can't. And so now you're trying to prove a point, but it's really disgusting when you eat it.
This weekend at the track, I am going to eat a bag of candy corn.
Ew.
In the media center.
Ew. I won't sit by
well,
you.
Well, I think it would have been boring if us three just dunked on it. So I'm glad that you at least have a differing opinion. I hate candy corn.
I knew you would hate candy corn.
It is the most disgusting thing ever invented. And yeah. If I ever see you eating candy corn in front of me, I'm gonna confiscate it from you.
Please throw it directly in the trash. Just be like, bam, dropped.
He's gonna pay me back by throwing pennies on the ground, so I have to pick them up.
But that's good luck.
Exactly.
Find a penny, pick it up.
No, I'm not gonna throw pennies on the ground. I'm gonna throw pennies at you.
Either way. Since you mentioned it, why don't you dive into what you guys will be doing this weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
Yeah, I'm so excited to... head back out. I fly out Thursday. So Friday, there's actually an IndyCar test, and then Saturday and Sunday is Chris Griffith's test. So it's USF 2000, Indy Pro 2000, Indy Lights, prospective drivers for next year, some testing. You'll see Friday, so David Malukas, Linus Lundquist, and Kyle Kirkwood will be testing an IndyCar, so you know that's also pretty cool. I don't know if anybody else is testing yet, but I think it's just those three.
That's their
prize, I believe, for being top three in the championship this year. So at first I was a little confused when I saw Malukas testing for Team Penske, but I think it's just a matter of, hey, you got this IndyCar test and Roger Penske owns a series. That's my guess. I could be wrong, but so, yeah, Friday, plenty of content this weekend. some HMD Motorsports interviews will be coming out and other interviews, and who knows.
I got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Kirkwood just keeps testing the 26, right? Like, that's just what keeps happening. He hasn't tested for anybody else.
Correct. Are we reading into this? Are you asking me if I'm reading into it?
I'm not asking you.
Okay. Why don't we let Matt go first there?
We actually talked about this on the IndyCar podcast about Colton Herta's future in IndyCar and what's going to happen with Formula One. And I think what my guess is at this point is we can't rule out that he might only be part-time next year. Ooh. If he does need to gather super license points, if he does need to do several FP1 sessions and immerse himself into the Formula One culture, could see him stepping away for a portion of the season next year and Kirkwood filling those seats for that time.
That's a good answer. I'm having trouble refuting it.
So you think Kyle will only go part-time for next year?
Correct. I think no matter what, even if Herta stays full-time, Kirkwood's either going to be part-time or Formula E or Extreme E or some other nonsense.
Are we still on the DeFrancesco train that's going to take 29?
Yes.
I don't see that changing.
And I will say his times from Barber looked pretty good, which we can segue. Yeah, we can segue that into the test at Barber. So Nico Hülkenberg was in the McLaren car, so that was really cool to see. Lucas was with Coyne. Who else did we have? Hunter Ray was with Carpenter. Kirkwood with Andretti. DeFrancesco with Andretti. And Lucas led the times on the day, which was quite impressive. But I think DeFrancesco was 2 or 3 tenths faster than Kirkwood. So you can go ahead and chalk that into the way too early analysis bank. But I think if you guys have any general thoughts about the test, was it surprising that Hülkenberg was there? Were you surprised that Lucas was fastest? You guys can take that any direction you want.
I'm not surprised that David was quick. I mean, I think that he's talented, so I'm not surprised. And I read that interview that he did, or the write-up, or whatever it was, I think it was on Racer, that Indy cars are actually easier to drive than lights cars. So, you know, if you're good in a lights car, theoretically, you'll at least do well in a testing session, right? Like, that's not competition by any means of the stretch. So, I'm not surprised by that. I wouldn't hate to see Nico in IndyCar, as long as he's not a diva, because I kind of heard he was a diva.
Yeah, I've read that multiple places online in the last 3 days.
We have some divas in IndyCar.
I mean, do we though? Like, not really.
Elio, Ed.
Ed is not a diva. Listen, if Ed didn't own an IndyCar team, I feel like he'd be like some carpenter somewhere. Okay, that was stupid.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, Shannon.
That was so unintentional.
Wow. Like, that's like a riding a bike thing all over.
He's gonna, like, go work at Lowe's. Like, he's not a diva by any means. I mean, if you're going to talk diva, like, Alexander Rossi is diva. If you're going to be a diva.
No, I don't think Alex Rossi is a diva.
I don't think any of them are divas. I'm just saying if you have to pick one.
Anyways, we're snowballing.
Yeah.
You did.
But what I thought was pretty interesting was comparing. Now, granted, like Shannon said, it's just testing. So Malukas ran a 106.3 and Devlin was a 106.7, which would have put them between 10th and 15th if we looked at practice times from Barber back in April. Now, I don't, you know, weather is different. There's a ton of variables, but their times are all very competitive. Even Hülkenberg was a 107.4, so that would have put him where Dalton Kellett and Max Chilton were, and still faster than Jimmy Johnson. So, you know, that's not a bad place to start, considering he's never driven anything like an IndyCar before without power steering.
Yeah, and do we know where Van Dorn is testing? Because Stoffel Van Dorn, is that on Friday? Or Stoffel Van Dorn is also going to be testing with McLaren. So that's cool. But it sounds like this third car is gaining traction, at least. They seem pretty serious about attempting to do it.
I feel like they won't do a third car unless they're 100% satisfied with the driver. Like, I don't think that they will run a third car and find a driver. Like, if they find a driver, then they'll run a third car. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Also, Van Dorn does not have a testing location listed on any of the press releases, so it's hard to... I guess it's not going to be Friday, because I feel like we would, you know, by Tuesday night, we'd probably know that.
They put out their media release for the testing today, so yeah. At 4:30, and that was after that announcement.
Yeah.
Do you guys think this story about Junkos Hollinger and Carlin teaming up, probably a good idea, right?
I mean... It's not a bad idea to, I mean, it's all, I feel like it could be a way for Junkos to get that second car they want and Carlin name to stay in the series, or it could be a way for Trevor Carlin to go, you know what, I want to slowly get out of the series and, you know, maybe have assets for another year, and if it doesn't work, then I've already agreed to, you know, Junkos and Hollinger to sell. Something along those lines. So it's not a bad thing to have extra resources. I mean, shit, the Junkos crew at Laguna had like 7 members when they were fixing Ilott's car before the race. So
your favorite fact to share.
Yes, literally the only fact from Laguna I remember at this point, and that was only a month. God, was that only a month ago? 5 weeks ago. God damn.
The two slowest teams together is going to make a giant. Right.
Is that what's gonna happen? Like, do you put two slow teams together and get a medium team?
Like, we need to make sure we needed to look at the Wikipedia table for this. If like a big team and a small team merge, what does
what does that give you?
Like, would let me ask you this, just for fun, would they be better than Foyt?
You could start a team and be better than Foyt.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know if I'd
take that as a compliment, but
we still don't have drivers for them yet, right?
Foyt, Carlin, Junkos has Ilott, but then Foyt and Carlin don't have anybody.
So they haven't
confirmed
their
time.
Drivers yet. I mean, I don't have a good answer for this. I don't think that it will be beneficial to either of them.
But could it hurt them?
No, I don't think it'll hurt them. Because it is more resources. Like, I feel like you can't go wrong with more resources. But I don't know that you'll go right.
Yeah, I mean, that still depends on, you know, actually
on
executing.
On your actual resources and how you handle them. Yeah.
All right. Well, Penske's going down to 3 cars, which I think we kind of knew/expected. Sebastian Bourdais is going to Ganassi IMSA and still plans to hopefully run Foyt part-time. But that hasn't been confirmed yet. Christian Lundgaard went to the... was it the
30?
I'm getting all confused here with Harvey going to the 45. Christian Lundgaard to the 30 car, Rahal Letterman full time. So he was picked over Ferrucci and a couple others that were mentioned. So he'll be full time, including ovals. What do you guys think of the decision to pick Lundgaard over Ferrucci?
I think it was
keeping in mind that Ferrucci sponsors the podcast.
Does he?
No, but don't tell the back pages of Reddit that.
I think that is probably purely financial. I assume Lundgaard comes with a lot of money.
So
I think. Well, were you gonna talk about Bobby Rahal's press conference?
Yeah, I think it was when Harvey got announced. He said the 30 ride is fully funded, so we're just looking for the best driver. So is Alpine, and I think Hickey might have said this. I don't remember if it was on an episode or if it was like when we were just chatting about like, now does the Alpine money now he's just got like tons of extra money. I'm not saying like Lundgaard is not talented, because he did impress in his debut with a car that had 4 wheels and an engine, but
rent free.
it really is just living there paying. Gosh,
I knew I could get a reaction from that one.
Well, if you have all of that rent in your head, you might as well get some home insurance from Jake Neely from Indiana Farm Bureau.
Wow, what a segue.
That was fantastic. I like that.
Contact Jake Neely or tell him that PLP sent you. If you need his info, just message us on Twitter at Pit Lane Parlay. We can send him your way. For all of you Indiana and Ohio residents who need insurance, go through Jake Neely. Bam. Anyways, you continue. You think Lungard's going to be pretty good, though?
I think that he has talent, and I think given some time and not just be thrown into a car on race weekend, I think he'll be successful. I don't know that he's top 10 yet, but I think that he'll run in the top 10. I don't know that he'll finish in the top 10.
I think he's in a good spot to have the chance to succeed in his rookie year. So, I mean, that's all you can really ask for coming into your rookie season. And, you know, he got a little taste of action already. So, yeah, I think he's got a chance for the occasional top 10 finish, kind of like Shannon said.
I'd say at this point, for me, he's definitely the rookie of the year favorite, for sure, over DeFrancesco and a part-time Kirkwood and a part-time McLaren, Hülkenberg / Van Dorn, and Ilott.
I'm looking for my list here. Somebody online, Indy Nathan, the 2022 IndyCar rookie class could include Kirkwood, like you mentioned, Malukas, Ilott, Lundgaard, DeFrancesco, potentially Hülkenberg or Van Dorn or something. So that's a pretty stacked rookie class. Now, granted, Kirkwood might be part-time, and Hülkenberg or Van Dorn or XYZ, if that car, maybe not great. The 29 car for DeFrancesco hasn't been great in a long time, but
years.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, you know, that's some pretty good talent coming up all around, and it's,
I think it's the combination of Lundgaard's full time and Ray Hall is the most even team of the teams you've just mentioned.
I really, really hope Ray Hall just like finds whatever it is that they need and just like come in and kick some major ass next year. I would love to see them
take it to it. Like, because in my opinion, they were more well-rounded than Andretti this season.
1,000%.
I think if you take Herta out of the equation, Andretti was probably
bad.
What, the fourth worst team in the series?
I mean, they weren't great.
No. So, yeah, I hope Ray Hall just finds a way to at least win a couple races and show. Because without a win or two, it's really hard to say that you're should be in the big three, big four conversation.
Yeah, but his lineup just coming up, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Jack said in his interview release somewhere, you know, that he qualifies well, but then in race setup, they were having really hard time. And then Graham doesn't qualify well, but races well. And so if they can merge those two things,
it's dangerous.
It is dangerous. And I think that they'll get along well. I think that they both don't give up. And so it'll be good.
I'm glad they set aside their argument from what was at Texas that everybody made way too much of a big deal out of early in the year.
Well, it was early in the season. We needed drama.
Yeah, fair.
Well, that was my take on that, if I remember correctly, was Graham Rahal answered a question honestly after being asked a question, and people got mad at him for it.
It's like, people get mad at Graham for being honest all the time.
It's like, what is he supposed to do, not answer the question that was asked of him?
I don't think Graham Rahal's as whiny, at least the last 2 or 3 years.
He's definitely gotten way better. I think early on, yeah, maybe when he was like 20,
yeah,
could give the snobby answer here and there. But like, he's 20. Like, with 20-year-olds,
really,
not going to
sound
like that.
I've never found him to be snobby, ever. I feel like he is real focused, and so he doesn't come across as very, like, overly friendly. But I've never encountered Graham and thought that he was snotty.
You heard it here, folks. Graham Rahal, not snobby.
He's not snobby. Logan Sargeant. Logan Sargeant was set to test for Foyt at Barber on Monday, but that test got canceled, and we now know why. Logan Sargeant is now in the Driver Academy for Williams, so he is going that route. However, I would definitely not...
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They're able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Exclude him from potential thoughts on being in an IndyCar seat at some point in the near future. So
that might be the first time in, well, that I can remember that somebody has been scheduled for a test and then unscheduled for a test, like in the span of 48 hours almost. We actually got that news on air, and then 2 days, by the time the episode came out last week, it was no longer news. Should we talk about the Boston Grand Prix failure?
Yes.
Can we talk about that?
Yes. So John Casey, this is a story that never goes away and probably will never go away. Something in a year when they like audit the books or something is going to come out, and then we have a whole nother chunk of stories. So John Casey, who I believe was the CEO of the Boston Grand Prix, the failed IndyCar finale on Labor Day in 2015. Was he indicted, arrested? In trouble,
all of the above.
Yeah, you know, he's been in,
forced to walk through the streets. He pled guilty. Shame bell behind him.
Yeah, he pled guilty.
He pled guilty. So he pled guilty to all sorts of illegal things. The point that I'm trying to get at here, what I read in the article that I thought was hilarious, is that I think he somehow embezzled funds from the Boston Grand Prix and used them on things like a Match.com subscription and a ring. Now this dude is like shooting his own shot. Like he's like, I got this Match.com profile. I know I'm gonna find the love of my life immediately, so I need to have a ring just in case.
Wait, how do you know that he didn't actually find the love of his life and then go buy the ring? What if it was like a 2-day search?
Because my Reddit mind thinks that this all happened within 24 hours.
Okay, and?
So you're saying he found, like, he just proposed within 24 hours. That's risky.
It is.
But it wouldn't be out of line for the CEO of the Boston Grand Prix, since we know how well that worked.
See? I feel like maybe that's what he did. He, like, signed up for Match, met his first match, decided that that was the one, went and bought a ring the next morning.
So I have a question, and probably none of us are going to know the answer to this, but... So it got listed in all this stuff that Match.com was one of the things he spent money on. How much is a membership to Match.com that it made the news?
Well, just look it up. Hold on, I'll Google it.
Yeah, I don't
for dating sites.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing that pops up is free trial.
Well,
3-month access plan is $29.99 a month.
Shit,
good
you
God.
On that. Like, I couldn't even type it in.
it's that Gen Z Google skill.
Dang.
Well, there's an article here, eHarmony versus Match.com. Should we send it to this guy?
Wait, $30 a month to online date?
For the first 3 months.
And then what?
So if you do, if you decide to opt for a 6-month plan, which this guy definitely wasn't doing, it is $22.99 a month.
Oh.
Still too much.
It is,
yes. A lot of matching.
A lot
Ooh,
of...
but there's the premium plans, 3 months for $34.99.
Whoa.
For the first 3 months. I need to figure out what premium gets you.
Premium gets you the ring. Premium gets
Is
you
match.com
a fiance
worth the cost?
In 24 hours.
What's the premium match plan with a few extra bells and whistles? The premium match plan gives you access to a yearly review of your profiles from Match.com staff, a monthly boost that can push your views way up, and email red notifications so you never miss a message.
Just for the record, at this point, we might as well just read them a commercial at this point.
Yeah. Are they sponsoring this episode and I forgot?
Yeah. What?
We should move on to talk about racing because people are going to get very bored in this episode.
No. Hang on a second. Okay. These buttons here for free trial are green. So thank you so much to Stream Evergreen for sponsoring our podcast and hosting us. We really appreciate that. I don't see any info for Stream Evergreen podcasts on this Match.com review article, which is kind of a shame. So I'm going to email the editor, Jason Lee.
What is happening? We have gone off the rails.
You earned a Bachelor of Science from the University of Florida. What the hell? Oh, man. It's always a bad day to be a Florida Gator.
That's fair. Well played.
Wow. This.
Speaking
this got
of Gators,
of
when is St. Pete?
Nicely done. I thought you were about to make a green joke.
No, I'm trying to move
Gators
away here.
Gators are green. Well, no, what else is green? Stream evergreen. Don Cusick wants to be in IndyCar full time. He did the Indy 500 effort with Andretti Autosport and Stefan Wilson this year. It's weird. He's the first person who is not a French motorsports journalist lingering in Laguna Seca to really say anything about Toyota and IndyCar.
Did I miss this?
But I don't know if we're just like reading too much into that or if he actually knows something.
I missed whatever he said, so please enlighten me.
Why don't you guys talk about what you think of Don Cusick to IndyCar first while I look that up.
Okay, well, I think it's very exciting, especially if it brings Stefan Wilson into the fold, but he seems like he has a good business plan, some good partners, which you know some teams don't really come into the fold with, so he's got that side of it down. I don't see anything bad with it. He seems like a nice guy. I don't know if Shannon knows anything different about Don, but...
I don't know anything different about him. I'm all for Stefan Wilson, though. So if he can bring Stefan back to IndyCar, I'm here for it. I did hear on another podcast that we were talking about, like, I mean, if we get more teams, we're going to start running out of pit stalls at tracks.
You talking about off track?
Yeah.
Didn't they talk about that last week?
Yeah. But they're not wrong because we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one that's always been a concern was Toronto, but they Hinch made it seem like it was a solvable issue if they just extended the
pit
lane.
But I don't
down,
think that's right? the case at like Road America.
Oh, Road America is huge. There's plenty. I think the tracks that would
then
be in trouble would be Mid-Ohio, Gateway, Toronto, and maybe Iowa.
Iowa would be tough.
There's
yeah,
not a whole
but
lot of room
Road
America.
Road America is like such a ridiculously long pit lane.
So, okay,
I mean, they just had a NASCAR race.
Must not have
race,
been Road
so.
America, but they said another, not this particular podcast I just listened to, but previously there was another.
I think Mid-Ohio is one that's always. Mid-Ohio, I think, has 26.
Well, we're already at 28.
Right. Toronto has 23 with the current specifications, but they it sounds like Hinch and Rossi were saying they can make that bigger, which. I would take their word for it. So,
but then also, why don't we just qualify for races every race?
That is the excellent solution.
I'm like here for that. Seriously, like fight your way into this race.
So am I, but you know they're, you know social media would be a cesspool for days.
Yeah, I think what they'd have to do almost is like make it just a 1 hour session and you can go as many times as you want or something because you can't split it up into two groups, give them 20 minutes and expect guys to get clean laps when there's 14 other cars on track. They're just going to be running over each other and stuff. So it's definitely one of the biggest problems that IndyCar is going to have to solve this offseason is figuring out what to do with the qualifying on road courses.
Right, because at this point, even if we do it the way that we're doing it now, like you said, there's still so many cars out there at once that you cannot get clean laps.
Yeah. I mean, it was already a struggle with like 25, 26.
Yeah.
You could do three groups. You could do a group of 10, a group of 10, and a group of 8. Just
are you mathing me right now?
No. I mean, basic math, like addition. 10 plus 10 plus 8 is 28, just in case you weren't sure.
I wasn't.
Or you could do 9 and 9 and 10.
I had to think about that one.
I think that makes it a little more even there, host. So the exact quote, host, is from Don Cusick on the Racer Mag from Marshall Pruitt. He said, quote, "We want to find a team that wants to be a part of what we're doing, run with them probably through 2023, then look at where the engine manufacturer situation is at. If Toyota's in, what the new chassis is all about, and then look at 2024 to maybe buy the cars and everything to start out on our own."
Oh?
Yeah. It's like a, is this guy just full of shit, or does he know something?
Did anybody talk about that on Twitter and I just missed it?
Yes. Your guys' favorite. Think tweeted about it.
Oh,
and
that doesn't count.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, no. Next.
But I think, yeah, I'm trying to remember. We talked about it on the IndyCar podcast too. The with Justin and
okay, yeah,
Caleb. So anyways, I guess we'll keep our eyes on that. I had one. This is the last thing I have, by the way, if you guys had anything else you wanted to bring up or discuss. We, because of trivia and just how things like worked out with timing, the anniversary of Dan Weldon's death came and left, and it's been 10 years now. So,
Vicky, you can't bring that on me.
Yeah, it's still a very raw emotion that a lot of us have, and we're still very upset and sad that Dan is no longer with us. So we're just thinking of Susie and the family. I just wanted to give first of all, a shout out, and then second of all, kind of an anecdotal thing. So Marshall Pruitt did a really good 2-part series on Racer Mag, kind of like with insights in that day. I know he talked to several people who were either up in that day as far as crew or drivers or personnel. Spoke to Townsend Bell, who had some very insightful comments about that day. Other drivers like Dario Franchitti and whatnot. And then there was the one that caught my eye the most in a kind of a weird way was what Mario Andretti was quoted as saying. And I don't think you'll find a person in the paddock who doesn't like Mario Andretti. I think Mario Andretti is one of the greatest drivers of all time, one of the best people of all time. But I think what happened here is that Mario grew up in an era where Formula One drivers and IndyCar drivers were kind of, you know, passing away left and right because of the dangers of the sport back in the 50s, 60s, 70s and whatnot. So Randy Bernard spoke to Marshall Pruitt and said that after the accident and they got the information that Dan was not doing very well as he was being transported to the hospital, there was consideration to cancel the event, and Mario pulled Bernard aside, and according to Randy's account of the situation, Mario said, "Don't you dare cancel this event. Don't you dare cancel this event. We've never done it. This won't be good for the sport. Races have to go on. That's racing." Now, obviously, we know what happened, that they later announced that Dan did pass away. They did a couple laps of tribute on the track in a 3-wide formation. I just read that and was kind of taken aback. So what did you guys think of Mario's alleged comments to Randy Bernard?
It's hard for me to answer this because I have such a personal connection with Dan that I think if the tables were turned and it was one of his best friends, he would know what they would want the rest of the field to do. So I don't know that Mario could have spoken for that whole field. If they had asked Dario or if they had asked TK, they probably would have had a better sense of what Dan would have wanted. And then that's what we should have done.
I'm going to step back from answering and just let Shannon's answer stand on that one.
To answer what she said, Bernard did say, "I had Dario, Kanaan, Marco, and Justin come into my office and they said, quote, 'We do not want to race anymore. It's over.' And Bernard said, 'Fair enough. I'm not going to make you race.'" And so I'm 100% with Shannon. Like, for me, again, I think it's just a different culture, different time period kind of thing. And I just don't know if that was the right time to kind of insert your opinion per se. And I think ultimately going with what Dario, TK, Marco, and Justin had to say was the right call. So I think ultimately one of the angles of this article is that Randy Bernard got a lot of grief and scapegoating after this incident, and it was kind of refreshing in a sense to see what he had to say about the whole thing and where he was coming from, because it was obviously a tragic day, but I think a lot of people left that day with, you know, hatred and whatnot for Randy Bernard.
Yeah, I mean, yes. But at the same time, I do think that he did make the right call with regards to Mario putting in his opinion. I don't believe that that was out of disrespect. I do think that, like you said, it's just a different era. And they were so, I don't want to say used to it because nobody gets used to it, but it wasn't
so few and far between that you couldn't cancel races every five races or six races, right?
Yeah.
But this was a long time.
It was just so much different. It was so much different on Vegas, too, just the way that
it happened. And it wasn't a one car incident. You know, it was a 10 car incident.
And social media. And
right. Like, there was just so many aspects to that. Plus, I mean, I'm here to tell you, not a single one of those drivers, if they had said work racing, I don't think any of them would have gone out there. I just don't. I don't think they could have. I don't think that they could have emotionally pulled their shit together and raced a race that day.
I agree. Matt, anything else?
That's all I got.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Chris Griffiths. I'm never going to be able to get that right this weekend. Test.
Try it again.
Nope. And obviously the IndyCar test on Friday with the rookies. So yay for that. Look out for tons of stuff from Shannon and I this weekend. I don't know. Maybe we'll do something Instagram live again, as long as my Instagram, the PLP Instagram, works to go live. So
it'll be better IMS because we've got Wi-Fi at IMS.
Signal. Yeah, true. True.
5G. Thanks.
5G. Thanks, Roger. Thanks for good Wi-Fi. If other tracks are listening, please improve your Wi-Fi because it's a nightmare to send or to do stuff at the track in some places. On that note, everybody have a lovely weekend.
Bye.
Today's podcast was presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. If you're a podcaster, you can apply too immediately and get connected with advertisers that fit your audience. Go to podgo.co at podgo.co and let them know that we sent you there.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the world of outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.